Blog Talk Radio.
All mechanical creation, all images of enslavement and imprisonment, all rage and anger of death and hell, and the murder and the murderer's intent, the confusion of masculine and feminine roles, all portrayal of sexual perversion, including homosexuality and lesbianism, sympathy for Satan and the sorrows of Satan, association with the Nephilim and spacecraft, all perversions of the third eye through distorted and exaggerated images, perverted movements of the body and breakdancing and other forms of dancing. And we especially call for the judgment in this hour and the destroying of rock music directed specifically against children through the videos that were portrayed. And working specifically through these individuals, for whom we call for the judgment of the sacred fire in this hour before the throne of Almighty God.
Question.
everybody. I hope you all can hear me now. Give me a shout out in the chat room if you can. What's a Monday night without a few problems? I was outside earlier hoping to see a UFO fight, and it's quiet out there right now. Okay, so what I was saying was tonight I'm going to take listener questions. So if you have a question for the show, you can call in at 877-245-5648. I might ask if you want to ask a question to press 1, so press 1. Now you can hear me. Nothing's ever easy. Do have a chat room for the show, so if you're... if you've never been to the chat room, you can make your way there. You can go to the blogtalkradio.com website /Sherry Talk Radio and look for the chat button. You can join the folks in the chat room. But I'll tell you, there is nothing like the home crowd. My Warriors. And you know what? I love my Warriors. They're tough. They're tough. I'll tell you what, they're tough as nails. Anybody who could put up with the church crowd for years on end, they're tough. It's one thing I can't take, it's churchianity. It's one thing you have to deal with all the time because they're so far asleep and so far out left, right. Can't wake them up and bring them back to the Father because they think they already are. Spent some time last week working on my website, back to yahoo.com, and spelled Y-A-H-W-E. H, that's the way it's spelled, but it's pronounced Yahuwah. To update it, I'm not one for reinventing the wheel. I found a website that had all the feasts on it, so I pretty much just put it on my website. Put a couple links back to the guy's website. So you can learn about the feast. You know, I'm not a Levite. I'm a Judahite. What you'd think is a Judahite. There was actually no J in the Hebrew language, folks. It was all pronounced with Y's, and so. But anyway, I'm not going to get into linguistics tonight. But I do have information on the appointed times and feasts, because the way I see it right now, it doesn't really matter. Except for maybe this October, you might want to be vaguely aware that we have 3 festivals coming up in October. 2 of them, there's actually really only 1 of them that we could really observe, because the other 2 were established when we had a temple, and Israel no longer has a temple. Really, 5 out of the 7 feasts, there's only 3 or 4 of them commanded by Moses to celebrate at the time they were in the Exodus, because there was no temple. The others required the priests and a temple, and they had things to do with that. But we like to observe them in remembrance anyway. At least I do. You know, we have... Rosh Hashanah starting October 2nd this year. That's usually a September holiday, so that's pretty wild. It's all the way in October 2nd. But you know what's fascinating? Is that back when I was doing all of my research on what the early churches actually believed, because that's where I started on my path to truth seeking and my journey for truth, kept asking the Lord, what did the early churches really teach? What did the apostles really teach? What did they believe? I grew up Baptist my entire life, went to the schools, did the church thing, did all that. And you just get to the point where, what's the truth? What did they really teach? And so back in the day when I started doing all this church on or all this research on the early church and the times of the apostles and what they were teaching. And one of the things that I ran into and on my rabbit trails at the time was that there was two dates that they had believed Yahushua had actually been born on. And I don't know if it ever, we've always believed it's been 9/11, because the Jewish calendar moves around so much that you can't pinpoint at our calendar and say that's the day he was born, because every year the days are different on the Jewish calendar. They're not set fixed dates compared to our calendar. And so the time correlation at the time he was born was actually what they believed was 9/11. But there was also a backup date for not only Yahushua's the day he was actually born, but the day Adam was created. And so you always hear from the early churches how Yahushua was the second Adam. But that date was October 2nd. And so I thought it was interesting that this year the Rosh Hashanah festival starts on October 2nd. Another one is Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, this year begins on October 12th. And I think Ingathering, Feast of Festivals, starts on October 17th. And so all three of them in the month of October. So fast forward to next year, because if you want to go by dates, which I'm not really a numbers type person, but I know everybody that's into everything else is. I mean, everything's by numbers. Even the Father's by numbers. The occultists do everything by numbers. And the dates for next year were fascinating. Because if you kind of follow, and I know you don't, I don't either, but I take notice of all the Illuminati dates they always hype in September. They love the 23rd. Last year, Madonna was having that big concert in D.C., and the Pope was in Philadelphia. Wasn't that all around the 23rd? Last year, they had so much hype for the entire month of September, and nothing happened, because they were expecting the gateways to open on the 23rd, and for the fallen angels to enter through the gate, and it didn't happen. So that entire month of hyping for nothing, huh? But anyway, the festivals for next year just looked interesting. I remember that, because it kind of went along with their dates. And I know Lucifer has said that 2017 is the date for absolute. They will be here for their arrival in September, because they need time to set up so that they can, when they arrive, or so they can begin the phase in 2018. And to them, the phase is code speak for the mark of the beast. And they want to begin that no later than 2018. So they want to arrive in 2017 to have time to set up for that. But they will take, as a wild card, this year, 2016, if they can come in and get ready and prepare, they'll take 2016 as well. I mean, they could always waste a year to the land. They wasted a lot of time. That won't hurt them. So, you know, it's a wild card. I know a lot in the churchianity crowd spends a lot of time on date setting for raptures, and let me explain something about that. That's certainly not something I do on my show. My warriors are well aware of we're on different paths. There's different available routes at all times. And the timeline can stop at any moment and kick to something else. And so the timeline you were on, if you would stay on that timeline, something really interesting or good would have happened. And then, you know, because everybody wants to go home, especially the elect. They're tired of this place. And the elect are the first fruits, and this is what I've tried to explain. Because just because different people get prophecies and visions of oh, there was a rapture, there was this, there was that, it may pertain to them, but not everybody, because there's different departures times, different groups. And I've been trying to say this over and over. There is not one time where millions of people all of a sudden disappear and the whole earth's wondering, where did they go? That's not going to happen. Because first of all, millions of people aren't going anywhere. His bride is much smaller than you're going to think. And there's different groups. I look at some people's scenarios, their analytics of the feast, and I think they're interesting, but you know what? I'm not a diehard on some of these people's interpretations. Let me see if I can... I'm going to bring my site up. Not that I don't have it memorized, but... You know, everybody's got their own interpretations of symbolic and literalness of the Lord's seven feasts that he gave to mankind. But let me give you mine. Because I'm not always thinking like everybody else. All right. And I do have the feasts updated for the major holidays for 2016, the Lord's festivals and feasts, and for next year. Next year, Passover is April 11th. That's a lot later than it normally is. But looky here, Shavuot is May 31st. That's a good date. All right, so anyway. I mostly deal with the elect. And like I said, there's two different groups. There's the bride and the elect. And in the churches, and people read the KJV, they think it's one and both the same term. They are not. The elect and the bride are two different groups of Christians. The elect are part of the bride, but the bride are not part of the elect. The elect are their own separate, distinct group. And they are the firstborn. That is another term for the elect. It is firstborn. It also means first fruits. And so what I have always believed and have always seen, and one of the things I've been waiting for is for the elect to be taken out. The elect will not be taken out the same time the bride is. They won't be taken out the same time the Church of Philadelphia is. They are the first ones taken out. It's the first group gone. And the elect are gone before the sixth seal happens. And so when you look at the Lord's feast, you look at Passover, and that portrays the Exodus. It also, when they painted the lamb's blood on the doorpost, and they were saved by the plague of death that hit Pharaoh in Egypt, and it also portrays Yahushua's sacrifice on the cross. There's different symbolic and literal interpretations for Passover. That's my favorite holiday, by the way. I love Passover. And so, right after Passover, because you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then you have the Festival of Works, or Weeks is what they call it, and that's First Fruits. And that's usually typically in April and May, one of our 2 months of those. Whichever one it falls in that year, it's going to fall in April or May. And this is the day during the Feast of First Fruits that Yahushua arose from the grave. And so the way I've always seen it in the codes is that it's also a day that the elect could go home. And it's always been May. May's always been an interesting month for that. Because, you know, I said it falls on either day, April or May. Either month, because of the Jewish calendar, is different than ours. And so then you fast forward to the fall feast, because there's three in the spring. There's Pentecost at the end of May. Fifty days after first fruits is Pentecost. Dana's gonna contact you. You got it all wrong. He's more of a Levite than I am. I'm a warrior. I'm doing a Levite's job here because we don't have anybody. But Dana's pretty good. He's probably a Levite. If you jump ahead, because there's the three feasts. You got one in the summer, which is the end of May, which is Pentecost. And then you got three in September, October. You got Feast of Trumpets, Atonement, and Ingathering. Ingathering to me. Now, I know that some people think that, some interpretations are that that's going to signify the millennial reign. It can also signify, you know, these last three feasts could signify the removals, because Feast of Trumpets, it kind of surprises me that it only says it's 2 days, because when I remember when I was a young kid listening to Jack Van Impe, he was a Mason, but I didn't know it at the time. And I used to listen to him teach prophecy all the time. And he said that the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, was 7 days long. And every day for the first 5 days, they would blow a trumpet. The sixth day, there would be silence. And then on the seventh day, they would blow the trumpet for the last time. And so they always taught at that time that the last trump on Rosh Hashanah is when the bride would be taken home. And I know people are always screaming, you can't know the day or the hour. That doesn't mean, that's because the calendars always change. It also doesn't mean you can't know the week, month, and year. But I always thought that a September departure would be more for the bride kind of thing. And that would be more the whole Church of Philadelphia type of departure, because he told the Church of Philadelphia that he would save them from the hour of tribulation that was coming upon the world, the hour of testing, not the tribulation period, the hour of testing. And that hour of testing is the enforcement of the mark of the beast. So those faithful believers that he considers the Church of Philadelphia, which is symbolic for faithful believers, will be spared. They will be protected. Everyone just assumes they'll be taken home. Somewhere, if you're a seven-year tribulationist, they'll be in mid-trib. They'll be protected. They'll be taken home, along with the Church of Thyatira, I believe. Now, the other group of Christians, the other 60%, have just angered the Father. And they're not taken. They're not taken. He loves the Church of Philadelphia, and he will spare the Church of Thyatira as well. The Church of Philadelphia is his favorite because they're found without guile. There's no witchcraft in that church. Those believers are staunch believers. They're not involved with fairy dust and name it, claim it, and all these blabbing witchcraft doctrines of the churches today. They're not involved with those. They're found to be without guile, because all that's guile, it's witchcraft. And so that would be like a different removal right before the candle snuffing phase of Lucifer begins, the mark of the beast phase. So that's a departure of believers. So far we've got two departures. We've got the elect before the sixth seal. Then after the sixth seal, you got the sealing of the 144,000 on earth. You become specially anointed evangelists for the Father. Then you have the protection of the Church of Philadelphia and Thyatira. And during this time, what you also have is the roundup and enslavement, martial law, of the rest of the bride that's here. They will not be protected. Now, judgment begins in the house of God. He's going to judge his bride. That's why he presents it as a bride without spot and wrinkle. He's not coming for a bride without spot and wrinkle. He presents to the Father a bride without spot and wrinkle, which means they've been refined. They've gone through a refining process. And this whole FEMA camp and Ron and martial law thing, that is their refining process, because a lot of them are going to have to prove through death that they love the Father. But you can talk all you want to about how you love him, but how you don't live for him. You don't do what he says. I love you, Dad, as you're putting up your Christmas tree lights. Yeah. Or you're railing at the brethren, nothing better to do. Spit hate and fire and venom at your brethren. He hates that. There's so many people who set themselves up as self-appointed haters against the brethren online. I get contacted by these guys all the time who run these Christian websites and think they're holier than thou. And they're so rude. And then when you answer them, like, you know, you don't even want to deal with these people, they'll put on their websites that you're rude and stuff to them. Well, yeah, because they're shooting venom at you. You don't want to put up with these twits. And who appointed them? The Father didn't stand them up. They stand themselves up and call themselves watchmen. People do that all the time, all over the internet. Heard it all my life. Oh, the Lord's called me to the ministry. Really? Did he tell you to open up a church on Sun God Day and preach about Easter baskets and Easter bunnies and Christmas trees? What's a crock? I've had to listen to that stuff my whole life. But that's the bride that's going to be tested. They think they're all going home in a big rapture. They're going to be rounded up and sent to the FEMA camps, prove their love for him there, their loyalty. There is justice in all this somewhere. Although I hate to see anybody get taken to those camps. And I've always said, you know what? Food, water, meds, guns. Don't let yourself be taken to those camps. There's just a lot who are. The Old Testament's prophets prophesied about it. One of the reasons Father judges Babylon, America, is because they rounded up their citizens in prison camps and killed them. This is all prophesied. This isn't conspiracies. This is prophecy. If you don't know about it, read about my article, America the Babylon, and 100 reasons why America is Babylon, and I also have America being destroyed, the destruction of Babylon. It's all America. I have over 100 scriptures. People don't want to believe America's in last days prophecy? Are you kidding me? I can remember years ago, I don't know which Mason it was, Impey or Hal Lindsey, that was stating that America was not in Bible prophecy, and actually did a whole video they were trying to sell on how America was not in Bible prophecy. Really? Because, you know, they push this EU thing off all the time. Oh, the 10 beast kingdom, the 10 nation kingdom is the EU. No, it's not. And you still hear Christians today, churchianity, spewing that stuff, and you're like, do you know your geography? Because the nations, the 10 beasts with the Antichrist, they arise around the Mediterranean Sea, not the Atlantic. They arise out of the Mediterranean Sea. And if you look at the nations around the Mediterranean Sea, they're Muslim. They're not EU. The warning about this is Islamic Antichrist and the Ten Nation Confederacy for years. And the Masons have been trying to steer the churches away from that knowledge and steering them over to thinking it's going to be the EU. The EU is going to be destroyed by the Muslims. Going to be no EU. And anyone who's in Europe could see the writing on the wall and either prepare or run, because it's going to be war over there. Europe's going to be destroyed by them. That's why the Queen's already looking for her out. You know, she thought she had these bases to go to, and we've destroyed them. I'm all over her. There's a lot of warfare in the background I don't talk about. I am not idle. I don't sit here and do nothing or chat in a sewing circle all day. But she's getting very frustrated, so it's funny. I like that. So another thing. Let me backtrack. Some of the stuff. So the first fruits, and I could be wrong on this. I'm just throwing it out there on these possible dates, the way I see the feast. So people are thinking, you mean we're going to be stuck here until next year at first fruits? No, I'm not saying that at all. Because the Father can yank the elect out whenever he wants. There is no set thing for the elect. They can just go. You know, I know he wants us here to announce the arrival of Sananda and Maitreya, that these cosmic Christs that are arriving, I've been warning about forever. I know he wants the elect here to announce their arrival. And so once they arrive, it's almost like they come down, we go up. Because when they come down, boom, the sixth seal's going to hit. They are the pale and black horse riders of the apocalypse. And if you're like me, you take things in the book of Revelation consecutive, one after the other. And the sixth seal would happen after they arrive. Because the white and red horses are already here. And so we're just waiting for the fulfillment of the black and the pale. And the black horse is Muslims. It's Maitreya. And the pale horse is Sananda. And so when they arrive, it puts all four horsemen here, and the sixth seal will hit shortly after. And then what they'll see on earth is 144,000 sealed on the earth as evangelists. Now, another funny thing that the Masons teach to the churches is in Revelation, it talks about 12,000 from each tribe of Israel, except for Dan and Ephraim. They're not mentioned. But 12,000 from each tribe. That includes Manasseh and Joseph. And that's why, because there's actually, Joseph, remember, shared his birthright with his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So it actually, if you counted all the tribes, would be 14, but the two share Joseph's. So you're playing with numbers here. That's why people say, well, how can it be 12 from 12,000? 12 tribes if Ephraim and Dan aren't mentioned, and it's because Manasseh is listed as his own separate portion in that part. So it's Joseph. So these are virgins. Now, what's funny is you get all these literalists who think they're actually going to find the 12 different tribes of Israel and 12,000 virgins from each tribe. It's kind of funny. And male virgins at that. This is literal to the extreme that it's almost stupidity. What this means is that they are free of apostasies. They have been taught. They are ready to go. They're anointed. They're giving a special anointing. And they're also given special powers. They could walk through fire and not be burned. You know, they could walk through a city that just got nuked by a nuclear fire and walk out of it. It would look like a CGI war thing going on behind them as they walk out of it. You can't kill them. They can't be killed. But they will be protected. Because they have a mission. They have a path to preach. They're going to be preaching. And they're men and women. It's not just 12,000 males from each tribe. You know, the Jewish scribes, influenced by Lucifer, were always sure to keep women out of everything because they hated women. Lucifer did. Because they were always at the head of his destruction, you know. And so that's why he hates them. And so Paul carried the same attitude. We're not going to get into that tonight, but you can always hear the same hiss. comes from his father, Satan. But that's going to be right after the sixth seal, when 144,000 are sealed. Now, what they're going to do is they're going to get a seal of God on their forehead. And it says the angels mark them. So they'll be visited by an angel. The seal of God will be put on their forehead. The elect are already up in heaven at that time, and they get the name of the Father written on their foreheads. So there's two different things. One group gets the name of the Father written on their foreheads. The other group gets the seal of God on their foreheads, which is some kind of seal. Two different groups, two different anointings. Then shortly after, the earth is going to be struck by, this is a lamp. I think it's going to be Shema. That thing's been burning for 68 years now. It's an orange glowing mess in the east. That was the original home of what was left of Lucifer's home planet, Tiamat. It was just a rock left of it, and now it's Shema. Lilith took it over, hollowed it out. It's a huge palace in Shema, all laid in gold. Trillions of dollars worth of gold in that rock. And we've had it on fire. We chased them out of it. They're all in the Capricorn now. Shema's not even being inhabited anymore. We caught it on fire with the Orgone years ago. And a couple months back, we chased it out, chased them out of there and finished it off. All we have to do now is cast it in the ocean. And that's the lamp that will go into the Atlantic Ocean. And so they're all waiting for this asteroid to hit the Atlantic. Yeah, that's going to be Shema. And then shortly after that, there is an asteroid that's going to hit the Earth, Wormwood. I believe, and I don't have a thus saith the Lord on this one. I just have a hunch. That's always been there. It was confirmed by somebody else who had a vision on it. It's going to be hit over by Indonesia, right over there behind Indonesia and China. Right over there somewhere is where the asteroid's going to hit. So the Atlantic gets Shema, and I'm not even sure what that is over there. I think it's, I don't even think, it could be the Pacific or the Gulf or something, I don't know. But when that hits, it's going to affect New Zealand and Australia as well. But I think Sydney, Australia is going to be fine, the East Coast. I don't know about the West Coast. I just had this weird dream about Sydney, because everybody from New Zealand was going to Sydney for some reason. And I'm thinking, well, isn't Australia, is New Zealand in front of Australia or vice versa? Depends on which map you look at. But, yeah, that whole area is going to be affected when Wormwood hits. But Australia is going to be pretty much okay. They're going to be okay. Not so much for the other nations that are over there. And Hawaii will be under the water. Japan will be under the water. I warned people back in 2008, started warning people to get out of Japan. And like, what, 2 years later, Fukushima hit. That whole thing was supposed to go under the water. The Lord withholds his judgment on it. I would not want to be on that toxic radiation right now. And we've done a lot to try to steer away the radiation off the coast of California and our west coast by getting orgone out in the water. Our boys have done a lot of work out on the west coast. Couldn't be any more prouder of them. They've done the work of an army out there. And so, real proud of them. Everybody. I mean, I think we've got like a couple workhorses in each state that have done what they can. Everybody's been pushed to the limits. Some people doing even above and beyond. And so, love my warriors. I don't get a whole lot of time to just talk to them and tell them things that'll be happening when the elect leave. I know all my warriors are part of the elect, but we're going to have such an awesome time. We're not retiring anytime soon just because we're leaving. We will be back in different bodies, which is going to be awesome. We'll be in our angel bodies because the elect, the first fruits, the firstborn are angels. The firstborn, the first ever created were angels. And angels were sent to earth, born as humans. That was just the firstborn. That was the elect. Talk about it in my article, Angels in the Flesh. That's who the elect are. Everybody's sitting on my line. Okay, I think I have a question on this one. I just remembered. I said I'd take questions tonight. I always do this. I start talking and I forget. All right, let me take this question. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Sherry.
Hey, who's this?
This is Sandy. You met me. I'm one of the freaks that came and pulled up on property and talked to you for 2 hours, and you really helped me.
Oh, you're the one from, I won't say what state.
Why not?
Okay.
I've been on my journey. I just wanted to let you know that I did an interview with back in 2014. By Freeman Fly, and they took out my plug for you.
You said what?
I shared my story about my childhood and about my testimony with the Lord, and they took out my. I said she talks candidly about the aliens. I said it's in the Bible. I said, you know, the cockatrice. It's in Jeremiah and three times in Isaiah. They took it out. And I was like, well, that means I'm on the right track.
Yeah, because, you know, tonight I was going to talk about the giants and the Anunnaki, and I kind of got sidetracked. They're all over the Old Testament. Churches don't want to acknowledge that.
I know. So, I don't know. I was going to write you a letter, because I know I was kind of out. And I understand. I have my book going to be published, and I did an interview, and they kept you in it. It's on YouTube, but they hacked that too. Since I've been on my little journey, I've gotten arrested and had a window shot out. They put me in a nut house for a week. I will.
That's like a vacation, probably, huh? No, I'm kidding.
I'm ready to go home. Ready to go
home. Bad things happen. You know,
you're fascinating to me. Listen to you. It's like I. It's exactly how I feel. You know everything. Everything you feel to me, you confirm. Because I couldn't stop reading the Bible for 7 hours a day, every day for a year. And I just read it every day. But it's so torn and tattered. And I don't have cold. But I have the Father.
Yeah. That's right. That's all you need.
And Yasha
told me
he's calling. All right, Sherry. Thank you. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, if anybody else has a question, you can call in at 877-245-5648. So, you can call in. Otherwise, I'm going to keep talking. I got people sitting here on the line, but that's usual. People call in to listen to the show. It was hard to hear from me, too. If you do call in with a question, folks, try to be on a landline. Because if you call in on Skype, it's a disaster. And if you call in on a cell phone, it can be kind of hard to hear. Landlines are the best. So, all right. Anybody in the chat room has a question? Yeah, I know. I didn't mean to turn to abruptly get her off. Nobody could hear a word she was saying. Nobody in the chat room could understand what she was saying. So I didn't want to sit and have a conversation with somebody in the middle of my show and nobody can hear what she's saying. Talk more about the elect. Yeah, that's my people. They love to hear about heaven and going home, and because they know they're the elect. Everybody misses going back home. Angels in the flesh on the earth have it the worst. And you know what's funny? Is, you know, how holier, I don't mean to be ragging on the bride. I mean, I was part of the bride for a long time, grew up in churches and all that, so I can do this. I can rag on each other. We're just a bunch of siblings haggling. But I mean, like, you got the church crowd and everybody's holier than thou. And then there's the elect, and you would never know in a million years they're the elect because they're the people that were alcoholics, drug addicts, because they are put to the ringer from the day they're born. It's amazing they're still alive by the time they're 18. And so as adults, they have a lot to overcome. Because they've never been a part of this world. They know when they're born something's different. They're targeted. Everything about their life is just so much harder than everybody else's. Because they're angels, and they depict this. It's really funny. It's not like I watch a lot of TV, but if you ever watch these movies, like that paranormal show, I saw that once, and every time they depict angels on earth living as humans, they're rough. I mean, they're the outcasts. Nobody would believe it in a million years because they've just had it so tough. They're not the holier than thou's that the church crowd would expect. Because they're radicals. They're radicals. You know, I had some very higher up people ask me once that they had a hard time. Because with Christians, you can't go by what anybody says because everybody says they're a prophet. Everybody says they're a watchman. Everybody says they're a believer. But the one thing they can't lie about is your amount of light that you have. And so they couldn't understand how somebody with so much amount of light that I have could do things that I do that you know, maybe the holier-than-thou crowd wouldn't like. I mean, I don't know what that is. I know I like different types of music. You know, when I was in heaven, I loved the guitar. I was a guitar player. And so I love music on earth that jams the guitar. And Lucifer stole a lot of the songs from heaven and put them down here in our music. And a lot of that was songs I wrote. He changes the lyrics, brings them down to earth. And so people have a hard time grasping that, you know, any of that. They have a hard time grasping it. But we're, you know, I'm a warrior in a capacity as being a prophet and a messenger and a pastor and a shepherd and a teacher and emissary, all these roles put together, I'm first and foremost a warrior, and that's why I'm here. And so warriors are going to be more radical than a Levite priest, don't you think? I'm not a Levite priest. And so, yeah, that's why I'm different. And Michelle's the same way. She is the exact same way. She's worse than me. So, yeah, they're radical. That's the elect. They're radicals. But you can't shake them. They love the Father. They've been through hell and back, and that's why they don't have to be refined and tested, because they've already been their entire lives. Their faiths have already been tested, and they're still up and standing and fighting for the Father, regardless of what people think of them. You know, you live in two different worlds almost. It's like you're fighting in the spiritual and having to live in the physical. right, folks. Any other questions from the chat room? I never did get to the Giants tonight because, you know what, there's a fleet of Anunnaki ships that came in. There's 48 ships, 48 to, that could be the beginning or just the entire fleet that's coming in. But there's other ships coming in, too. There's a couple of really huge motherships that have come in that are different factions. And so what this tells me is there's some stuff heating up. So I was talking to Father about the Anunnaki because one of the biggest problems with everything today is terminology. And everybody calls everything, you know, different things or just throws terms around. Like the second son in Nibiru. Everybody calls the second son Nibiru. Oh, Nibiru's over Alaska, or, you know, it's like, no, that's the second son, probably. If you could see the Nibiru, you'd probably be shaking and baking right now and flipping over. Nibiru's not going to come around until after the seventh seal, and so the second son is the planet Enoch described as heaven. We call it EP. Me and my gang, we call it EP. And so that's the second sun. And that has been coming in because the elect are going home. So that is coming closer to the earth so that the elect can be taken home. And then 144,000 will be sealed on Earth, and then all kinds of destruction is going to happen. But not too bad because there's still America left because they round up the citizens and then they get destroyed for doing that. In the Father's anger, the judgment of Babylon, Revelation 18. It's hard to throw the entire book in a few seconds of a nutshell here, folks. I'm just trying to give you a rundown of things coming. And so anyway, would they happen on fall feasts? You know, I don't think you could set a date on anything. Because the Jewish calendar, there's two different Jewish calendars, first of all, because you have the Masoretic text and then you have the Talmud text. Then you've got the Gregorian calendar, which is our calendar. Which calendar, which date would that fit on, you know? So you can't do it. You just can't set a date. But you can set a time period, a week, month, year, maybe, huh? I mean, then you hope you stay on that timeline if you see it coming up, but then something happens and the timeline switches and you're left hanging. And no one sent you the memo that it was going to be canceled for that time. So you're just sitting around waiting for something to happen, and you didn't get the memo. Yeah. Question. Are all these circular clouds appearing just portals? Yeah, that's concern. That's portals. Those are gates. Those are another term for gates. Energy at the straight gate. Portals are gates, gateways. People don't realize the term watchman actually comes from being a watchman of the gates. In heaven, there was watchmen of the gates for the watchmen of portals. So I told you that there's six around the earth, and then you can open and close temporary ones, which is what they're trying to do with CERN. Because when it comes to the six gates that are around the earth, you're going to Satan's forces are going to fight angelic forces for access to them. There's always fights around those gates. And so they like to open their own gates with CERN. And also they like to pull in creatures from other parts of the universe through those gates, like he did back in his war against heaven. Father said, nothing new under the sun, folks. So, he's going to do it again. And it's going to get really nasty. Any complaints about all these new Oregon hens just put up? No, but what I haven't heard anything. But what I think is funny is there's a lot of ships crashing on the West Coast. They're kind of like coming in from the Pacific and getting a hit by Oregon, and by the time they get to Nevada, they're crashing. So, kind of funny. Also, the ones in Michigan, they could be coming down from the north and hit and getting a hit from north and south sort of the coast to the northwest, and they're frying by the time they hit Michigan. So, we're doing good. We're doing good, folks. I'm proud of the Warriors. Boy, this show went fast, man. I got 90 seconds. So, we'll talk about another key next week. I don't think anything's going to happen this week. So no worries, but just get your Oregon pipes up, folks. That'll... Anyway, all right. Don't forget to support your favorite ministry on the, you can go to GoFundMe.com/fightback. And keep me on the air and keep the Oregon Warriors getting Oregon out there and just doing what we need to do for Father in these last days, folks. Till next week, everybody. God bless.